Welcome back to the 4th Street Sports Show. It's your co-host, Charlie Luttrell, and I'm pleased to say that we have Mr. Jeremy McLean, Director of Athletics, in the studio, in the flesh. We are very, very excited to have him in the booth. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you guys so much. I'm honored to kind of to be the first guest. That's a,
I know. It's
that's a big honor for me, so I appreciate you guys inviting me.
We went big, and we got it. So we just want to talk about a couple of things. It's just been a crazy year, of course, and going into hopefully a more normal year, but there's still a lot going on. Yeah. So I just wanted to talk to you about, I personally talked to you last year around this time when things were just getting started with COVID. The athletic departments had never faced those issues before. So I just want to know, reflecting on the year now that it's, you know, you kind of have time to reflect on it, just what the experiences were navigating through those problems.
Yeah, definitely. We used the term unprecedented a lot last year, and I think it still holds true. I mean, it's like you said, it was really the first time any of us had ever been through that. And so, you know, you deal with that in different ways. What we did, especially within our conference, was we really kind of leaned on each other. We met twice a week. The ADs did in the conference to compare notes, to talk about, you know, we did things that were pretty drastic. We adjusted schedules. We tried to save money because the biggest thing, the biggest hit for us, the two most important things were keeping our student athletes safe and giving them a chance to compete. But then the revenue hit that we took was so great that we were trying to just find ways to offset that and plan, you know, plan as early as possible to offset that. So it was really an unbelievable year in many ways, you know, not to mention we had turnover in football and some other things, but just from a COVID perspective, it was really a grind. And I have to commend our student athletes and especially our coaches and our athletic training staff as well. They just did a great job of, you know, whatever we were asking them to do. And, you know, protocols changed throughout the year and we had to make adjustments. But whatever we asked them to do, they jumped right in and did it. And we were able to get through the year in a way that, you know, I heard you guys mention baseball kind of wrapped up the year for us and kind of ended on a high note, which was a lot of fun. But we wouldn't have been able to get to that point if our folks, our student athletes especially, hadn't been willing to do what we asked them to do.
And just, I guess, do you think there was anything pleasantly unexpected that came from last year or lessons you could take from last year?
You know, yeah, I definitely think there are. I think how we, you know, from the business side of it, the day-to-day operations, which obviously is my responsibility, I think there were some things that we did differently because we had to, that we've tried to hold on to. Whether it's scheduling philosophy, whether it's how we travel, whether it's, you know, maybe there were some things we were spending money on that we thought we needed, but in the long run, it wasn't as important to us, our success, as maybe we originally thought. So there definitely are things that, just day-to-day operations-wise and expenses that we've been able to try to hang on to. And I do think that's made us better. I think it's got an opportunity to make us healthier in the long run. And so I do think there are some silver linings.
Okay. And so just headed into this year, you know, fast-forwarding, just I guess you've had some time to think, you and your staff. What is your vision for this year?
Yeah, you know, I want, so obviously it kind of kicks off with football, at least from a eyeball standpoint. We actually kicked off with soccer here in a couple of days, and I think they've got a chance to have a great year, and volleyball as well. But as we talk about the excitement that's kind of surrounding football right now and you know, our department in general, I want to make sure, and this is, I'm not dodging the question, but I want to frame it this way. You know, it's really about momentum. Right, and so momentum, anyone who's ever played sports will understand that momentum is real and it's valuable. And so when you gain momentum like we have kind of over the summer, end of the, like I said, baseball finished strong. We've got Coach Hall's done a great job of getting people excited. You want to make sure you can maintain that. And it comes in different forms. So I think for us, being really competitive in Conference USA is where it starts. And that begins with football, obviously, again, because there's so many eyeballs on it. But across the board, when you go, hey, we have to get to a place where we can be competitive in all sports and be one of the better departments in the league. We're not there yet. And I think we have the potential to be there. And so maintaining that momentum, that level, and it doesn't mean we have to win every game, but I just think the fact that we've had the opportunity to rally people, getting our students involved, all those things, we've got to make sure that we're hitting on all cylinders and take advantage of that momentum leading into this year.
Just talking about momentum, just this summer, there's been a lot of buzz in Hattiesburg and just around the area about Southern Miss sports, especially football. You just posted something about the Eagle Walk.
Yeah.
So the return of events like that, just what does that mean to the Southern Miss sports fan base?
Yeah, I hope it means a lot. It does to me personally. Like, just being able to see that today and to see our students getting to enjoy the things that, you know, are supposed to make up the college experience. And I know you guys understand this. Like, I really at times felt sorry for our students, most of all, just because they didn't get the full experience. And so I hope that what it says to, you know, the sports fan in Hattiesburg is that, you know, although we have to be very conscious of what's happening around us, we're moving in a direction where we can begin to do some things that feel normal. And I hope everyone's excited about that. I know for me, you know, we all probably get a little complacent. We take some things for granted. But last year when we didn't get to do some things, you know, you kind of are able to take a step back and go, okay, I won't take that for granted again. So I hope our folks realize that. I hope they see this as you know, us getting a chance to get back and do some of the things we all love. And obviously that's, you know, getting our students back and getting people in the rock and winning football games and making it fun again.
So on a more serious note, the school has been advertising coming back into full-person operations. Athletics has been advertising full attendance. And, of course, over the last month, things have just kind of taken a turn. COVID, Delta variant has especially impacted Mississippi. Just how have you and your staff kind of monitored the situation and what changes may be made?
It's definitely been something that's, you know, you opens your eyes, right? It, things can change very quickly, and that's a, you know, that's something you have to be prepared for. So from the standpoint of what's going to change moving into this year, I think we will continue with some protocols, you know, as far as some things that carried over from last year won't be as extreme.
Okay.
But as far as what we did at concession stands, hand sanitizer stations, opportunities to spread people out when they're standing in line, we're going to continue to try to do those kind of things. But we're not in a situation this year where, you know, at least not today, where, you know, we're going to limit capacity or you know, put a mask mandate for an outdoor event. And so I think that's kind of what people think when they think, hey, you know, are these things going to happen? We're not there. But I do think we have to be very careful. And so what we've tried to do inside our walls and hopefully encouraging others is really encourage people to get vaccinated. And so our football program will be over 90% from a vaccination rate. We're finishing up some second rounds of shots, but we're going to be above 90% here in short order. And so I'm excited about that. I think it gives us an opportunity to go and compete. And not that we have to, that we can just dismiss what's happening, but it gives us a layer of protection, I think, that is really important. And so one of the things we've tried to do, and you guys may have seen, you know, our quarterback Trey Lowe,
mm-hmm.
you know, as, you know, in partnership with the Moffitt Health Center, put out a, and Student Affairs put out a video the other day. And so those are the things we want to do, is encourage people to get vaccinated, give themselves a level of protection, and of course, you know, people have make their own decisions. But one of the things that was important with our football program, especially and as we're working with our other teams too, is to get the right information. So we brought medical experts in to talk to them, to have them sit face-to-face and ask questions and not get information from social media or wherever they may gain it, but to be able to sit down with a medical expert and ask the right questions. So, you know, saying that to say, I think by encouraging vaccinations, that's a big part of our responsibility, and we want to continue to do that.
Definitely. And as far as the Conference USA or mandate or protocol last year, athletes had to get tested 3 times. Is that changing this year, or how is that going to play in effect?
Great question. And so, yes and no. And it falls in the vaccinated and unvaccinated category.
Okay.
So if you've been vaccinated, you do not have to go through that testing protocol. But if you're unvaccinated, then you do. You still will get tested 3 times a week. And so, so yeah, that's kind of where we're at right now with that. And you know, definitely, you know, I think from a student-athlete perspective, probably an encouragement to be vaccinated unless you have reasons not to be, to not have to go through a testing protocol. But so that's where we're at right now, and that could change. But as we sit here today, moving into the season, that's how it falls.
And aside from COVID, like we said, there have been other issues or tasks for you and your staff to deal with. And the NCAA, a big news issue was the NIL, starting with Mississippi, actually passed that bill, and then the NCAA came and changed that. But from what I understand, you were, I would say, instrumental in getting Southern Miss to the NIL and with the partnership with INFLCR. Did I get that right?
Influencer. Yeah, and so a couple pieces to that. I think we were fortunate that our legislators in D.C. and at the state level asked for our input and how we felt about it. And, you know, I think our main point, our feedback was, you know, we're okay with this, but let's protect our student-athletes. Let's figure out, you know, what are some downfalls, what are some places where we have exposure where they can be taken advantage of, but let's make sure we can try to put some buffers and some safeguards in place. Now, I say all that to say, I think the NIL laws will change. Right now, we go by Mississippi law, and the NCAA has some overarching guidelines. And I think both of those will change over time, because I think when you start something new, you just don't know what the challenges are. And so for us, you know, out of the gate on July 1st, we had a handful of student-athletes that have signed agreements, and some have been very beneficial, some have been, very minimal. But I think we'll see more and more of that. But I also think our student-athletes are realizing that spending a large amount of time chasing $1,000, let's use that as a term, that's a lot of money, but spending an inordinate amount of time trying to chase that takes away from other things you're trying to do. So I think striking that balance between, hey, how do I do this in a way that still allows me to not, you know, to do the things I need to do academically on the field or on the court and not take away from that. So it's about balance, and I think we'll get better at that as we go on. So the influencer piece, really partnering with them about, and that was really about education and making sure that we had a system in place that could educate our student athletes, we could get questions answered, we could have a process where, again, they're not going to be taken advantage of. And so we're excited about that. We still have a long way to go in getting it perfect, and it's going to be an ongoing process. We'll continue our education piece. You know, we've been working on that this month, and we'll continue throughout the year on trying to educate our student athletes.
So is Influencer a program or something? Could you just explain how it works?
So it's interesting. We started with Influencer when I first got here. It really started as a brand management, I'll frame it that way, software. And so what we did was, if we take game photos, we would load them into Influencer and then send them directly to our student athletes. So through this program, so you would app on your phone, you would get your photo. If you were playing, you know, running back, and you had a few good pictures of the game, they'll get sent to you right after the game. Because what we want you to do is be smart about how you use social media. Mm-hmm. And so you've got a great photo now of game action to tweet out after the game and say something positive, instead of trying to, you know, search and find something to post and running the risk of not doing it the right way. We were trying to give them tools to really manage their brand. And so as NIL came into play, we talked to Influencer about, hey, we really want to try to get out in front of this and be somebody who partners with you and take that to the next level from the standpoint of, you know, the social media brands in place, these young ladies and young men have been trying to do this, so now what's the next step? That's creating deals, opportunities or potential deals for them. And really, I think the place they're going to see most of the success from a name, image, and likeness is going to be on social media. And so for them, it's about educating them how to do it, still continue to educate them on how to do it the right way. So Influencer, brand management, it's also a system that allows us to, they've got different modules we use for education pieces. They have a system in place where you go in and fill out a form if you have a potential deal coming up, where we can review it, help make sure that there aren't any pitfalls. So it's kind of all-encompassing from the standpoint of trying to help our student-athletes.
It's a, like you said, new issue, lots of things to work out, but what would you say the impact has been on Southern Miss campus? How many athletes have been impacted by this?
Yeah, great question. I probably should know that off the top of my head, but I'm going to guess. So I do know. I mean, it is. I get an update weekly, but I'm going to say we probably have 20 student-athletes, somewhere in that range. And some of them are significant, and some of them are, in exchange for some gear, right, or something like that. So some of them are minimal, and some of them are significant. So it's in that 20 range. I think you know, again, it will evolve over time. I think we'll do a better job of educating them so they can potentially go out and seek opportunities. And we want to do that. You know, we want that for our student athletes. We want them to take advantage of the opportunity, but do it in a way that they don't put themselves in a situation where they can be taken advantage of.
All right, so the other task for you and your staff, I'm just assuming there might be plenty of others.
I'm sure.
But conference of alignment has been kind of the talk of the summer, of the late summer. Where I know the COSA Board of Directors met a couple weeks ago and talked about it. Where does Southern Miss lie in that situation, and just how are you approaching that situation right now?
Yeah, so for us, I'm going to try to answer that directly, directly as I can, but I'll give you a little kind of background on that. So for us, you start talking about conference realignment, and people assume that, you know, a different conference might be better. Mm-hmm. You know, just people make that assumption. What I would tell you right now is I'm not sure that, you know, if someone got an invitation to the Big 12 today, and they accepted that, you don't know what the Big 12 is going to look like in a year's time. And so to say that moving here and moving there today would be advantageous is a little bit of a stab in the dark. And so for us, what we try to focus on is getting better every day. And so I kind of joked with somebody the other day that announcement that conference realignment had kind of started, you know, didn't change anything we're doing on a daily basis. Are there conversations being had? Yes, absolutely. But what we get up and do every day has always been focused on putting us in the best position to take advantage of whatever opportunities may come. And so we're not there yet. We got a lot of work to do. And so we talked about momentum and taking advantage of this, and football, and all the things we need to do to get better. We have to have a product that people are going to want to be associated with. And the Southern Miss brand is very strong. We just have to get back to doing it the way we're used to doing it. And I don't think we're far off. So I say all that to say, you know, it doesn't necessarily change what we do on a daily basis. There are conversations being had, naturally, as you would assume, people are calling each other and trying to kind of fill out situations and what are people here and there, what are people here and here. But I do think this is probably going to be a 2-year process as people begin to move and change. I'll say for us, we're going to put ourselves in the best position possible to reach our ceiling. And so whether that's in Conference USA or whether other opportunities arise that could put us in a better position, we just have to take care of business on the field, on the court, fundraising, ticket sales, all the above, continuing to grow our brand so when the time does come, we're ready to take advantage of it.
Okay. Thank you for that response. And I'm going to talk about things within the Conference USA. Sure. I won't go anywhere else, right. But I just wanted to bring up the point that there's been a lot of expansion within Conference USA, especially in men's soccer. Just some colleges that have joined: South Carolina, Kentucky, Coastal Carolina, and coming soon, West Virginia University. This doesn't have to be related to soccer, but has Southern Miss kind of considered expansion within the Conference USA?
From a sports standpoint?
Mm-hmm.
Not right now. Okay. Our most recent addition was beach volleyball, which happened about 3 years ago. I think I have my timeline right, about 3 years ago. And so that was a big step for us. And part of the reason for that, quite honestly, is, opportunities. We want to make sure we're balanced, as balanced as we can be in our opportunities from a scholarship standpoint. And we start talking about Title IX and male opportunities versus female opportunities. We want to be very careful. So adding a men's sport for any NCAA department is a very calculated, careful addition. And I say that because you were mentioning men's soccer.
Mm-hmm.
But really across the board, I feel like we're in a good place. I think our budget supports, we've got 17 sports right now. I want to focus on being as good as we can be in what we're doing right now and not necessarily looking to expand. And so there's a lot that goes into that, but right now, to answer your question, no, we are not. You talked about men's soccer. I want to say something about Conference USA. You know, I think if you go back and look at last year, we won a national championship in men's soccer.
Marshall,
With Marshall. And we were very competitive in women in volleyball, where I think Western Kentucky went to the Sweet 16. We had another team in the NCAA tournament. We had great years in men's basketball. We won an NCAA tournament game in North Texas. Women's basketball had a great year. So there are these opportunities across the league where we really have made some progress.
Mm-hmm.
Where we haven't done it is in football. So that's what oftentimes is most visible from a national perspective. And so for us, we have to get football right as a conference. And that's what we're trying to focus on.
Whew. Wow. That was a way to end the interview, because that's a lot of pressure this season coming up for football. We just thank Mr. Jeremy McClain for showing up today, giving us that great interview.
Yeah, well, we appreciate the opportunity to be here, man, and appreciate what you guys are doing.
We hope for a good season this year.